Okay, so hello and welcome to our fifth Game of Life Masterclass call. Oh my gosh, this chapter, that girl, she sure did know how to write and to fill energy spaces. Okay, but first we're going to do a little bit of admin. If you haven't called in your Chaos Flush Energy Attunements, be sure to do that. So I am getting some really good feedback on the power of this attunement. So to support you to maintain being calm in a calm state and get that clarity of thought, no matter what's going on around you. So if you have not called that attunement in, find that email with the manual to describe what you need to do and get that handled because you will love this. Okay, the other thing I wanted to tell you is that all the recordings are available for download at Masterclass Central. So be sure that you go and download all the recordings of the calls. And I've also added 10 meditations, 5 webinars, and 2 Game of Life modules from the membership as tools to support you to fulfill your square of life. So download those tools so that when you need them, they're right there. There are some really awesome meditations for shifting your energy to love, and they're not really long. They're short, and I think that they'll really help you. Now, the classes are also available to listen to at the Facebook group, the private Facebook group. So you can go there and listen there too. Okay, so that's enough about admin stuff. Now we're going to just create our safe, sacred space. So get really comfortable. Ooh, I got to calm down. I'm so excited. And just take a few deep breaths. And we're going to begin by quieting our minds. Then I'll say a prayer, and then we're going to create that sacred circle of love. And this circle does transcend that illusion of time and space, so we can all come together as one. So just get comfortable and close your eyes, and I'm going to ask the angels to please control the energy so our technology will keep us all connected. Okay, so taking that deep breath with your feet flat on the floor and with your hands gently in your lap, just close your eyes and focus your attention on your heart. And just take another really deep breath. And now shift your focus to gratitude of the blessings in your life. And just embrace the things that you're grateful for. And just immerse yourself in that wonderful feeling of gratitude. And now ask yourself these questions. Don't try to answer, just ask and allow life to move you into the answers. Who am I? What do I want? What's my purpose? What makes me happy? Now just allow yourself to be aware of your physical body, your hands in your lap, and your feet on the floor. And now focus again on your heart. And allow yourself to hear the beating of your heart as a sound or feel it as a sensation. And now with a deep breath, angelic guardians of the heavens and the earth, of the east, of the south, of the west, and of the north, join us now, bringing with you the most powerful magnetic force in the universe, love. Father, Mother, God, creator of all that is, we're so grateful for this opportunity to come together as one with singular intention. And we ask for your help to expand into a greater awareness of being. We ask for your assistance to understand Florence's teachings at a greater level of mastery and apply them to fulfill our square of life, to manifest as our reality the dreams and desires of our heart, all that's ours, by divine right, under grace. in deepest gratitude. Amen. And now we're going to create our healing circle of love. So if you're in Asia, please take my hand and that of an angel and join our circle. If you're in Africa, please take my hand and that of an angel and join our circle. If you're in Antarctica, please take my hand and that of an angel and join our circle. If you're in Australia, just take my hand and that of an angel and join our circle. If you're in Europe, please take my hand and that of an angel and join our circle. And if you're in North America, just take my hand and that of an angel and join our circle. If you're in South America, please take my hand and that of an angel and join our circle. And we come together as one with singular intention of transcending the fear of our planet to be the vibration of love. And now just step into the center of the circle as the angels and I hold circle's safe space. And with a deep breath, the angels and I infuse you with the love of the highest order. We see you as powerful, fearless, as one with all that is. We infuse you with strength, stamina, and healing love energy, holding you safe in all directions of time. Accept in this moment the knowing that all that makes your heart sing with joy is already yours. Breathe deeply of this love light. And now once again, rejoin our circle of love, taking the hands of the angels. And together, we send unconditional love to each other across the soils and waters of Mother Earth. And through this singular intention of empowered support, we hold to this energy of being magnets for life experiences of this high vibration of love energy. And now with a deep breath, we ground into this energy. Just see roots from your feet going down into the soils of Mother Earth, down to the core light of healing, loving energy at her center. And with a deep breath, bring that all-powerful love energy back up through the soils to your feet, up your legs, to your heart, fully grounding this magnificent vibration of love as yours, now and always. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Okay, so as usual, this week's chapter, The Law of Karma and the Law of Forgiveness, opens the way for a greater, deeper understanding of that power within us. Now, Florence tells us that desire is a tremendous force and must be directed in the right channels or chaos ensues. She tells us our most important step is the first step, to ask aright, and that we should always demand only that which is ours by divine right. Now, when we read this, our human brains naturally go to just how do we know something's ours by divine right? Well, that's a great question. But before we dive into that, I want to address Florence's story about the woman who wanted the house. The house that the woman got because the owner died, and then her husband died, and the house became a white elephant on her hands for years. That white elephant meaning a possession that the owner can't get rid of. Now, the woman asked if Florence thought she had anything to do with the man's death, and Florence told her yes. Now, as we discussed after our call last week, we're not only translating Florence's 100-year-old words, we're also translating across languages. And because you're all over the world, and English may not be your first language. But taking her words at face value in today's world, I'm not really in agreement with her statement that the woman had a hand in the men's deaths. And this is why. I don't usually disagree with Florence, but I do disagree on this, and it could just be translation of time and words. But I personally believe that we cannot influence the date of another person's death. I believe each of our bodies have an expiration date, if you will, and we nor other people can change it. Even if someone's murdered, their body was going to die on that date anyway. Or if someone commits suicide, their body was going to die no matter what they did or didn't do. The heart was going to stop and the body was going to die on that date. And tragedies where a group of people all die on the same day, like when the planes hit the World Trade Centers, everyone who died that day was going to die on that date, whether they participated in that event or not. Now, when my dad and I were writing the book after he died, when Daddy and I were writing the book, Waiting in the Other Room, Archangel Azrael joined us to talk about death of the human body. And he told me that the expiration of the human body is divinely orchestrated at the appointed time and is for the highest good of the human spirit that's transitioning, as well as everybody who's connected and touched by that person's life. There's a plan. Archangel Azrael participates in all transitions to the spiritual realm, clipboard in hand, making sure everyone's where they're supposed to be when the spirit leaves the body. He says that this is the simplest way to explain so that our human minds can take it in. And if you've ever had a loved one die where you couldn't get there in time and they passed, you weren't supposed to be there. Or if you did get there just in time, in that case, you were supposed to be there. There's a plan. And when we look at Florence's example of the woman in the house, the man who originally owned the house and the woman's husband both died. But that wasn't because the woman willed the owner to die, so karma killed her husband. She didn't have the power to end the owner's life. Now, the focus here should be on how that house became a white elephant for the woman, not the deaths of the original owner and her husband. Now, maybe in 1925, Florence's readers would have focused on how the woman's strong personal will resulted in getting the house and the house becoming a white elephant instead of the men's deaths. This is that one case that I don't think this is a very good example for today's world, because when we read this, our focus is on the deaths of the two men, at least mine was. And that would lead us to freak out about the power we have when demanding the manifestation of something we want. And it's like, oh my God, I could kill someone if I don't ask right. Well, that answer, that's no. You can't kill someone if you don't ask right. But you could save yourself a lot of anxiety and you could be happier. Now, Florence tells us that anything forced into manifestation through personal will is always ill-got and has ever bad success. Well, why is this? Well, it's because forced manifestation through personal will is based in fear. And we know that fear energy manifests more experiences of that fear energy. And then it gets really tricky when she says that man is admonished, my will be done, not thine. But she also tells us of the God part within, and then we manifest through us. It's like, what the heck? So let's unpack this. When Florence uses the term forced manifestation through personal will, in today's world, we would reword personal will to fear. So it reads, anything forced into manifestation through fear. And again, we know we're in fear when we're forcing energy, because if we were in the vibration of love of the highest order, we wouldn't be feeling any need to force anything into manifestation. We'd be flowing in the knowing of the love vibration. If we're feeling that need to force something, we're in fear, not love. And we've learned that when we manifest from fear, we receive experiences laced with fear energy. And when we look back at our lives from this safe space, I don't know about you, but I can clearly see that I did just exactly that. I manifested awful experiences through the vibration of fear energy. And we do that whether by consciously worrying or by defaulting to that hidden energy of not being good enough in our subconscious, or both. And this leads us to, my will be done, not thine. I believe she's speaking to man's energy of fear, my will, from the energy of fear. Because when we're in that highest vibration of love energy, the God part energy of the superconscious, we're in God's will working together as one. There is no separation of my will and thy will. We're together as one in the love of the highest order. So if you read that phrase, my will be done, not thine, reworded as my fear be made manifest. Oh boy, that puts a new spin on it. And we don't want any fear being made manifest. We sure don't want it being done. So when Florence spoke the word for the woman, if this house I desire is mine, I cannot lose it. If it's not, give me its equivalent. She asked aright. She actually demanded the manifestation of her highest good, this or better. Now here's my take on a scenario playing out when asked aright. The man who owned the house died, as we all do, at some point. The woman got the house. Her husband died, because that's when his time was. And then she lived peacefully in the house by herself or with roommates, or she sold it for an excellent price. Had she spoken these words and been of this energy, the house is mine or something better, the way would have been opened for the higher outcome after her husband died. It's my belief that the owner and the woman's husband were both still going to die, no matter where she lived. I don't believe we have the power to influence someone's death. However, I do believe we have the power to negatively influence other people's quality of life when they allow us to. For example, narcissistic people influence the life of their victim, but they can only do that with permission. Now, of course, the victim doesn't actually voice permission. They subconsciously give them permission because they carry a deep-seated belief that they're not worthy, deserving, or good enough to be treated differently. And I know this firsthand because I've given that permission subconsciously. And that's definitely what I believed, that I didn't deserve to be treated differently, but all at a subconscious level. But because we're powerful spiritual beings, we can change that narcissistic scenario by using our own power. Now, Florence's example of the woman forcing her personal will on her daughter not to take the trip is more easily understood when we step back and see the mother's personal will as fear. She was afraid for her daughter to take the trip. She believed it to be dangerous. Now, on the surface, the woman tells her daughter she doesn't want her to take the trip. But behind the scenes, there are cords between the woman and her daughter. It's like electrical cords. And these are cords between all mothers and their children, unless someone cuts it. The mother feels fear. And that fear travels right through those cords to the daughter, and she feels the mother's judgment and fear, judgment of her decision and fear of what's going to happen. Now, as a result of that fear and judgment, the daughter rebels and is determined to take that trip, and she pushes the mother away. Our children can feel the worry and fear we feel for them through the cords that connect us. Every energy we feel for them flows right through the cords that connects us to them. If it's worry and anxiety, they won't like that feeling, and they'll rebel and push us away. If we're holding them in love energy, they feel that too. And it feels safe. So they reach out when they need help. This is what happened with the woman and her daughter. When the woman let go of her need to hold her daughter in fear, she gave her fears to God, leaving her in the state of love for her daughter. And the daughter made a better decision for herself. When we're not in agreement with the decisions of our children, the decisions that they're making, they feel that judgment from us. We can shift out of the fear by infusing them with love, sincerely from our hearts. We've taught them to make good decisions. They know how. Whether they're doing it or not, that's another thing. But they know how. So even if you're not in agreement of what they're doing, you know they're fully capable of making good decisions. So when we hold them in this love energy, instead of feeling our fear-filled worry judgment on them, that energy that makes them not want to talk to us, instead they feel the love we hold for them. And they want more of that. Now, as a result, they make better decisions and they reach out to us when they need help without fear of judgment. So when you catch yourself worrying about your children, stop. The worst thing you can do for them is worry about them, holding them in that judgment. They feel it and they don't like it. It feels awful, like there's something wrong with them. So then they don't want to communicate with us Because let's face it, worry energy feels awful on our end. Well, they're feeling worry, anxiety, and judgment coming from us. And that is not a warm, fuzzy picture. You've taught them well. They're fully capable of making good decisions. Release your need to worry and shift your energy to the vibration of love by infusing them with love energy. And remember, we can't be in fear and love energy at the same time. So when you shift to love, if they don't actually make a better decision for themselves, because you're in the love energy, you're going to be better equipped to manage whatever happens next. And you're right there to support them when they need you. And since you're holding them in that love instead of fear, they're going to feel safe to come to you. Okay, so now let's talk about the lady who got that fake $20 bill from the bank. You know, in today's world, I looked that up. I think that's like $300, $300 and something. No wonder she was so upset. When we observe this experience, we can see that the act of the woman giving her friend stage money was a joke, something to laugh about. And she may have laughed passionately at the joke, which told the universe she loves stage money. So the universe responded in kind, giving her that fake stage money of a $20 bill. Well, Florence tells us repeatedly that the universe has no sense of humor. It's simply energy, energy, matching energy to energy. And when we feel passionately about something, and that includes being passionately angry about something, that's what we're going to attract to us in short order. So let's talk about karma. Karma is the spiritual principle of cause and effect. By definition, it's the sum of our action in this lifetime boomeranging back to us at a future date. And in the simplest of terms, karma is the energy of our behavior reflecting back to us. Florence teaches us that we can neutralize negative karma through the love energy of forgiveness. So let's explore forgiveness by first looking at unforgiveness. Holding someone or something in unforgiveness is like taking poison and expecting the other person to die. Unforgiveness is holding another person responsible for your happiness. And in some cases, this can be an experience instead of a person, like a fire or earthquake, some event that caused you pain. But no matter what's happened, you are the only one responsible for your reactions, your feelings, and ultimately your own happiness. Now, when something awful happens to us and it's painful, it just is. We experience the pain. And our behavior is based on the energy we feel within. So when we're emotionally hurting in some way, we're experiencing and being negative, negative fear energy. Hurting is not love energy. No matter what happened, it's fear energy. And remember, anything less than love is fear. And you can't be in both at the same time. The physical world has taught us that when we're hurt, to rehearse over and over again the negative experience in our mind, or experiences, to rehearse them over and over again, everything that hurt us. And yeah, that's right. We rehearse it. We We don't just replay it. We rehearse it over and over and over again, everybody with their part. And we burn the event and pain even more deeply into our neural pathways. And whether consciously or subconsciously, this is exactly what we do. Until we consciously choose a different experience. And not only that, unless we consciously choose to evict these replays of the experience that hurt us, our inner self-talk will begin to default to reliving the painful moments over and over and over. Sometimes we don't take responsibility for our feelings of being hurt. We blame others. So we do nothing to heal ourselves because it's the other person's fault that we're hurting. If they hadn't done what they did, we wouldn't be hurt. But looking deeper, we don't know how to take responsibility for our own feelings. So we don't. But what we don't understand is that after that initial shock of an event happens, whatever it was, after that shock wears off, then it's a choice. It's a subconscious choice, but it's still a choice as to how we're going to continue to feel. Do we replay the situation over and over again in our minds and wallow in the unfair pain of what we experienced? Or do we consciously choose to use our power to heal the pain and create something better for ourselves? If we don't consciously choose something better, our brain defaults to what we fed our subconscious last. And that was probably the pain of what we experienced. And we felt passionately about that because it was painful. So it's the dominant energy in our subconscious. As a result, we become a prisoner of that pain, harboring anger, resentment, outrage, fear, and sometimes feelings of shame and feeling powerless. These painful energies run in the background of our operating system and subconsciously direct our words, thoughts, and actions toward both others and ourselves. Scientists have studied how painful experiences cause our bodies to release chemicals that tell our brain we have to protect ourselves to survive. And when the pain is deep and sometimes repetitive, survival mode can become our normal, everyday way of living. And this is how unforgiveness of painful experiences take over that behavior that we display to the world. And it builds a sum of negative actions that is bad or negative karma. We subconsciously reflect to the world the pain we feel within us, and we manifest more of it. I know that's how that works because I became an expert. But then I met Florence and learned what to do to stop it. So now let's look at forgiveness. Forgiveness is about you, not the person or situation you've decided to forgive. It's about you. Forgiveness doesn't mean you're in agreement or condoning the behavior of others. Far from it. Forgiveness is that gift that you give to yourself. Forgiveness is releasing the need to replay the hurt Forgiveness heals the pain. Forgiveness is a conscious choice. But in order to fully forgive, we must feel safe to forgive. And that means taking our power back from the pain that we're holding in unforgiveness. We're no longer a victim. To shift the energy within us, take our power back and feel safe, first, build your safe space by breathing deeply to gain clarity of thought and ask your angelic team to draw near you to support you. And whether you feel them or not, your angelic team is always with you. They never leave you, ever. You're always a crowd. And then accept what happened. Accept that what happened, it did happen. Accept what is. And again, this does not condone behavior. And it doesn't mean you're in agreement with what happened. You're simply accepting that this experience happened to you, whatever that experience was. And when you accept what happened, you're facing it head on, eyeball to eyeball, and its power over you immediately begins to dissolve. Because we know quantum physics teaches us, when you observe energy, it reacts differently. It loses its power to hurt you. And then on the heels of that acceptance, accept that you have the power within you to create a higher outcome. You cannot change the experience, but you can heal the pain of it and overcome it to move forward with your life. And then infuse the entire situation and all the people involved with love as best you can. If you find it hard to infuse the people, infuse their higher self, that God part within. Infuse that part with love. The love energy heals that pain within you. And when you infuse situations and people with love sincerely from your heart, your energy shifts from fear to love, because you cannot send or infuse love from fear. We're in one or the other. The love vibration heals the fear pain within you and opens the way to create a higher outcome and set you free. And with this understanding, we see the woman in Florence's example who made her karma on her aunt was living from a vibration of fear. She was out of harmonic flow. Had she stopped and acknowledged the resistance energy in her body, that fear, she would have had the opportunity to follow the energy breadcrumbs to where the painful energy was birthed, to heal it and forgive all, including herself. Forgiving and healing the resistance energy would have shifted her to that love vibration and neutralized any sum of negative karma she'd accumulated. If the woman had said to her aunt, "No more talk, I wish to eat in peace," and then recognize that energy that she was feeling, because you know that didn't feel good, then she would have had that opportunity to follow the steps of forgiveness by accepting that painful energy within her and consciously choosing to infuse the experience that birthed the pain, as well as the experience with her aunt, with the love of forgiveness. She would have neutralized the karma. Then her experience with the woman she wished to impress would have been based in love, not fear. And the way would have been opened to create a higher outcome. So let's recap what we've covered in this chapter. We unpacked and learned. We learned that when we're trying to force something to manifest, we're in fear-based personal will energy. But when we're in love energy, we're one with God and manifestation flows without anxiety. We learned that when we're vibrating in the love vibration, we are one with God. And my will is thy will, fearlessly manifesting through us because we're no longer separated. We're one. We learned that asking aright is fearlessly demanding what we want through love of the highest order, what we want or better, and let the universe decide how it'll bring it to us. And we know how to trust in that flow. We got a clearer picture of how emotions we feel passionately manifest our life experiences, how the universe matches energy to energy. And with this understanding, we want to be aware of our energy to ensure our passion is of the vibration of love. We walk through steps of forgiveness and gained a clearer understanding of how forgiveness is truly a gift we give to ourselves. It really doesn't have anything to do with the other person. It's all about us. And shifting that energy negates and neutralizes negative karma. So again, I've added short but powerful meditations that'll support you to shift to that love energy. And one of the five webinar classes is the gift of forgiveness. And it is awesome, if I do say so myself. So if you need that support, please download that information to all your devices so it's available at your fingertips when you need it. And if you have any questions about this, please ask. Again, I know this is a lot. Ask me now or post your questions in the private Facebook community and I'll answer and we can discuss. And again, we are moving a tremendous amount of energy, so be gentle with yourself. Drink lots of water. Get a nap. Things are coming up. You may be face to face with some situation of adversity. Just boom, blindsided. There it is. See it for what it really is, an opportunity to look within at why did this show up in my life? What do I need to look at? Work with your angelic team. Please show me. Show me what I need to know, what I need to look at. And if you need help, reach out in the private Facebook community. Now, next week, we're going to dive into Chapter 6, Casting the Burden. That does complete our content, but I have a meditation that's very short that I would like to share with you. And I've never done this through the Zoom, so I hope it's going to work. Okay, this is a short guided meditation to meet Florence's energy. So I'm going to go ahead and play this, and then I'll take questions when it completes. So we'll begin by quieting our minds. So if you'll place your feet flat on the floor and with your hands gently in your lap, palms up, please close your eyes and focus your attention on your heart and take a deep breath. And now shift your focus to gratitude of the blessings in your life. Embrace things that you're grateful for and feel the emotional fulfillment of gratitude. And ask yourself these questions.
Don't try to answer. Just ask, who am I? What do I want? What's my purpose? What makes me happy? Now simply allow yourself to be aware of your physical body, your hands in your lap, your feet on the floor. And now focus again on your heart and allow yourself to hear the beating of your heart as a sound or feel it as a sensation. And take a few deep breaths in. And with your eyes closed, allow yourself to experience whatever the angels bring to you. You may see Florence in your mind's eye. You may simply feel her energy. And don't be surprised if you recognize it as familiar. And we begin with a prayer. Father, Mother God, Creator of all that is, we come together in love and light to meet with the loving energy of Florence Scovel Shin. We ask that only those of the light be allowed to communicate with us, and we ask for your guidance and support as we open our hearts to experience our highest possible good. In deepest gratitude, amen. So take a deep breath and see before you your mighty oak grounding tree. Step forward and gently touch the bark. And as your hand slips into the tree, lean into it and blend your spiritual beingness into the loving essence of your grounding tree. Your feet mold into the tree's roots and travel through the soils of Mother Earth, down through the rocks, through the clay, down to the core love light at her center. And take a deep breath and feel the vibrant healing energy of Mother Earth as it flows up the roots to your legs, through your body, to your heart. The branches of your tree open wide to the breath of God. Breathe deeply of the healing love of God. Take another deep breath and expand the healing energies of Mother Earth and the love of God within your heart. You are one with God. Now the hand of an angel reaches for you from the other side of the tree. Take the angel's hand and step into the safe space of the angelic realm. You've stepped into a beautiful garden, lush green plants, and beautiful flowers welcome you. The angel guides you deeper into the garden where Florence waits for you. She's sitting on a bench, quietly enjoying the sunshine while she waits. Walk over to her. She's very excited to meet with you and hugs you with great affection. Sit down beside her on the bench and get comfortable. Florence wants to share that you've stepped into a magical time. A magical time that's easier to take your power back that you've given away this lifetime and previous lifetimes. It's easier to take it back now, And she's so happy to be holding this space for you to reconnect with the love that is your essence, to help you open your heart to the love and prosperity that is yours in all areas of your square of life. Florence gently takes your hands in hers, and with great love, she asks, "What would you like to know?" This is your time to ask her any question that you have. Allow your heart to be open to whatever she shares with you. And while you sit here on the bench with Florence, talking with her, breathing in her energy and all the love she holds for you, ask her anything you wish to know and allow yourself to take in her answers, her guidance, and her wisdom in whatever way works best for you. This is a beautiful place for you and Florence to get to know each other. Breathe deeply. Continue to breathe deeply, and your connection grows stronger and stronger, and it's easy to understand her love, her wisdom, and her guidance. Take a deep breath and know that you can return to this place anytime you wish to work with Florence. If you like, set a time and date with her and she'll meet you here. Now it's time to return to the physical world. Thank Florence and the angels for meeting with you, and walk back to your grounding tree, taking the loving energy of Florence with you. Step into the grounding tree and breathe in deeply and see the roots of your grounding tree blend with your feet to burrow deeply into Mother Earth, down through the soils, the rocks, through the water, down to the core light of love within her. And take another deep breath and pull that vibrant healing light energy up through the soils of Mother Earth, up through your legs, up through your body to your heart. Step out of the tree into the physical world, fully grounded and holding the love of this experience within your heart. And when you're ready, open your eyes.